Welcome to the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. I'm your host, Jeff Ross, the caffeinated kangaroo from Down Under, here to help you navigate the wild world of social selling and AI mastery. Whether you're a frustrated affiliate marketer, an inspiring coach, or a seasoned network marketing pro, you're in the right place. And each week, we'll be deep diving with key experts from the online business world, sharing their tips and tricks and stories to help you elevate your game. Plus, I'll be serving up some quick coaching episodes packed with actionable insights to keep you ahead of the curve. So grab your favorite cuppa, sit back, and let's hop into another episode. Welcome to the journey of mastering the art of social selling and AI while balancing life as a laptop lifestyle legend. Let's get started and enjoy the show. G'day guys, how are you going? It's Jeff Ross here, your caffeinated kangaroo, your laptop lifestyle dad. And this is our social selling and AI mastery podcast. And I've just wanted to put together this podcast to interview awesome experts like Joe that we're going to introduce you to in a second, to be able to help fill the gap, especially when it comes to the AI social selling space. You know, in here in Australia especially, there's not too many resources to be able to help people to get access to this amazing knowledge base that's out there with all these awesome thought leaders that are, you know, really pioneering and opening up new ways and new pathways for us on this online marketing world. Guys, I'm here in Australia, got Joe over here in America, and just awesome. I met Joe through an awesome networking opportunity, and we just hit it off like a house on fire. Joseph has his own podcast called the Joseph Graham Show. And when it comes to sales, when it comes to learning social selling aspect of it all, I really feel that, you know, just my short interaction that I've had with Joseph, he knows his stuff. You know, he's definitely one of the experts in this space. So really looking forward to this interview. Joseph, thank you very much for saying yes to jumping onto this call with me today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. It's an honor, and I've loved watching your content and getting to know you better for sure.
Nah, thank you. So, mate, I always love to start with people's story, specifically their hero's journey tale. So can you share your journey with us? Dive into the personal, the professional path that led you where you are today.
Sure. It's funny. So I grew up in Midwest America where you're supposed to get one job, marry the girl, and just do the thing. And that's what I thought I was going to do. So I started working at a factory, going to college. They were take me through the program, and all of a sudden I got laid off. I have a family, have two young kids, and I had no job. And I'm like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? I literally fell into sales. This was 27 years ago, knew nothing about it, to the point that my first time I went and presented to anyone, I literally told the guy I was presenting to, I can't do this. And he goes, dude, I like Home Depot. I got the card. I'm going to buy it. It's all good, which gave me that epiphany moment of sales is not about me. It's about the customer. But when you're first doing it, you don't know, like I was trying to do a flip chart for gutters. You don't need a flip chart for gutters. You measure it. You say, here's the price, you know, but at the time I was young and green. Yeah. And then just going through that crazy journey of I did heavy equipment sales. I did door-to-door sales. I got into corporate America, and you'll see some of the plaque stuff in the background. I won multiple awards in the B2B space for sales. But the epiphany moment, like anyone else's, is that I literally had to get put into that situation and then realize that if you reframe sales that it's not about you, it's just helping your client, your customer. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier and you win. And then that whole icky stress that I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but in the US salespeople are not always looked on as kindly. But once you realize and you can shift it to where it's my business helping your business, it's game over. That's like a super short version of it, but like 20-year overnight success.
Yeah, 20-year overnight success. Love that. Yeah, look, it's very same here. We have a thing called here, the tall poppy syndrome, especially too. And people say to me all the time, oh, I hate sales. I hate being scammy. And I said, well, I don't do that either. You know, I hate that too. You know, I'm a solution creator. I just help people solve their problems. And when you frame it that way, you know, it's pretty cool when you can help someone, you know, get out of Sucksville and get them to Awesome Town, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, because what you do, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, but entrepreneurs especially, they have this great idea. They're on the creative side, right? But they're like, I don't want to sound like I'm salesy. I don't want to do that. But you have the vision. You have the plan. You have the stuff that can help the people. So I just reframe. I'm like, Jeff, here's the thing. Don't sell them. Tell them your vision. Tell them how you can help them. Because if you give them enough value, they're going to pay you. They're going to say, hey, Jeff, how much does this cost to be a part of it? Because you're selling who you are and what you can do for them, because this is your passion, your dream, whatever it is you are as an entrepreneur. And then like with business people, I'll come in and help their salespeople because they're afraid to pick up the phone or do all this stuff. And I'm like, look, a no now is not a no forever. And they're not rejecting you. They're just rejecting the product or service maybe right now because you haven't earned the right. That's it.
Love that. It's all about how you frame it and essentially get out of your own way, right? Just follow the actions. But love it.
Yeah,
So,
well,
yeah, sorry, what were you gonna say?
oh no, I was gonna say, yeah, I think so many times we just get in our heads because we really think we're more important than we are. And don't take that wrong. You're important, you're valuable. I'm all
Yes.
about getting that set too. But in the sales process, it's just all about them and helping them. That's the thing that once you fix that, it's easy.
So let's tackle a challenge. So overcoming obstacles. So could you tell us about a significant challenge that you've recently faced and how you navigated your way through that to find a solution?
Sure. Well, like even for my mind goes two ways here. I'm just gonna go with the first thing that hits my head. Me going from corporate America to actually just helping people online. So here's the thing. I've made millions of dollars for businesses. When I say I was a top closer, I was a top closer. Like they're still making millions off of what I've sold. But because we all get in our heads and all, when I go to price myself, I'm like, oh, should I price this? Should I do that? Because you get in that whole value versus cost versus, yeah, well, that was for the business and that product was great. And just getting in the right groups and around the right people to fix my mindset with it too, so that when I bring value to someone, it's okay that I charge them for that product or service. And I think a lot of us have that issue because when I'm selling for a corporation or I'm selling for a business, they have to implement it. Now, it's me implementing it. It's trying to figure out what is that cost versus value? What is it that I'm bringing enough to come in? But my wife helped me with this one. She goes, you think it's simple. What you do is not simple. So first and foremost, men, if you're listening to this, is a life laptop lifestyle dad show. If your wife is giving you some insight, you might want to listen. That's probably going to help you. I can throw it out there. But once I realized, I was like, holy crap, she's right. Like, what's simple to me is not simple to them. But there's things that you do, Jeff, that you probably think is simple. And I'd be like, I dude, I can't do that. What are you talking about? And I think just reframing that again, I do a lot with mindset. I know it's I'm a sales coach, but in reality, I help people get their mind right and their stuff set. Because then I can just put systems and processes in places because we
That's
have to
it.
make the calls, we have to do the emails, we do the stuff, we gotta fix ourselves first.
No, as a coach, I totally relate to that. I always get people, I find myself in conversations around life and mindset and even the heart set of it all. And the processes and strategies really is just 20, 30% of it. So I find that all the time. So yeah, totally connect to that. So, hey, I'm curious, like, are you playing around in the AI space at the moment with anything to do with social selling?
Yes. So I've used the boring chat GBT. I do use that. I have a friend. His name is Jakob. He's out of Germany, and I'll give you a connection. He is my go-to guy on a lot of stuff like that because, like, he was in AI before it happened. But I use simple things. Like, I use a voice over IP program called Dialpad where it will give me a summary of the call. So, like, when I give the person a call, right? Like, we're having a call right here if we're on that platform, it literally will give me a summary of what we talked about. Then it will give me the bullet points from that conversation so that I can come back to it. And all I gotta do is type Jeff Ross in my thing. It's amazing. There's so many different things with AI that's phenomenal, and it's not the end of the world. Like I grew up in the 90s. I was born in the same time, so I saw Terminator and all that stuff. But it wasn't. It's not that. It's just simple things that make your life easier.
That's it, right? It's not that it's AI is going to take away jobs. It's people who learn how to master it is the ones. It's like the computer back in the 70s. You know, people thought the computer was going to take away jobs. It wasn't. It was just made things more efficient. So, what is it? You know, what was that tool called again? So, Dialpad, was it?
A dial pad. It's so it's a voice over IP program called Dial Pad. We've all heard of Chat GPT. I use it for grammar and stuff, but Dial Pad is just like a voice over IP solution you can get. There's so many different little things you can do to enhance. There's a bunch of CRM systems out there, different things that all it does is shrinks time for you and helps you get better and faster so that you can touch more people.
Love that. So, with all of this conversation at the moment that we're on, so how do you envision the future of AI and what impact do you believe that it will have on the world?
It can go either way. Because people are people. Some people are going to use it for good, some people are going to use it for bad. I think AI is a tool, and whoever puts the inputs into it is what you're going to get out. Just like with our life, with business, with anything we do, we control our inputs. So AI is going to be used how you use it for good or for bad.
Yeah, it's just a, once again, it's just a tool, not really a replacement, right? So, is there any sort of real key leaders or influences that yourself, you personally follow and watch, and what's some of the most significant impacts that they've had on your journey right now?
Are you talking AI or business and life? What's the question?
More specifically, to probably sales or AI, yeah, social selling and AI.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure because I have different people I follow for different things.
Yeah.
Again, my buddy Jakob, because on the AI stuff, he has a course, he has a bunch of stuff that he's been doing before ChatGPT, which tells me that he was invested before you get. Because I'm sure you've gotten the email, I'll teach you ChatGPT. And it came out 3 weeks ago. Bro, you don't even know ChatGPT, you know? So I follow him on social selling. Probably Steve Sims has a really good program with that type of stuff. Just I like how he operates. I've known him for a long time. He's been on my show. Great dude. And what I mean by that is this: he's 100% himself all the time. You don't get one Steve Sims here and one Steve Sims there. Because there's sometimes people get online and they'll be like, oh, and you see him online, then you meet him in person. Like, wait, you're not the same person. Another buddy I follow, his name's Gabe Arnold. Phenomenal dude. He's had a marketing agency for 20 plus years. Very solid, very down to earth, very again. I'm into heart-centered guys that are authentic and will help people first, that type of approach. If you are a prima donna, like look at me, showy person, we're probably not going to vibe well. It just doesn't work for me that way. And then the last person I'll mention, I just had him on my show as well, is James Dixon, James Eltroy Dixon. He has a show on YouTube, well, a YouTube channel with over 200 million downloads, which is about motivation and social selling and public speaking. All four of those guys are phenomenal.
Yeah, love it. So I've got a couple of questions for you. I just want to pick your brains about, because you've done what, how many shows now on your podcast?
On my podcast, 189 have dropped, and I've recorded close to 200.
Wow, that's an awesome milestone. So, hey, you're definitely someone I'd love to pick your brains about that. Some I've just launched my own podcast, but more importantly, though, as a dad, I've got three young boys, and my two oldest are 12 and 11. So I'm always, looking to pick entrepreneurs' brains, and let's say you were in my position, what were three skill sets that you would help your boys, help Harrison and Lachlan? What would be three skill sets that I should focus on to help them to master now, to help them to get into this world? And because Harrison's got a heart to be a YouTuber, he loves Mr. Beast, and all that sort of thing. So what would be three skill sets to help them to master and achieve?
Sure. I would say I'm going to caveat this because every kid's different. I have three kids as well. My oldest daughter is very into the arts. She's very hands-on, like that type of stuff. My son, my middle child, is going to be an electrician. He's already doing it. And then my 9-year-old, she's just loving dance and all. So each kid's a little bit different, but there's certain things that you want to do. And this could come across wrong, but I treat my sons a little bit differently than I treat my daughters. Not that I don't see them as equal, but they're going to face things differently. That's just how my mind works. Sales for sure. Either one, because everything's a sale. This is where I actually agree with Grant Cardone. Everything's a sale. Whether or not you're trying to sell someone, reconnected, that's a sale. Me talking to the audience, them listening, it's a sale. It's not like a bad thing. It's just you're making the building the networking and sales. So sales and networking would be the first thing I would want them to know. Two, kindness. There's such a lack of kindness and empathy in the world. Not judging people just from what someone else has told you or an outside appearance, but actually getting to know them and understand where they're coming from. Because I grew up in the Midwest, so I don't always understand. Like I live over here on the what they call the West Coast now, because I'm in Arizona, right on the edge of California area, and it's just a different culture. It's fine. It's just you have to be open to get different cultures, different groups. Like I talk to people around the world, but a lot of people get caught in their one little group of this group. And then thirdly, for my son, thirdly, a little bit of ambition, because right now with all the Gen Xers and all the people that don't have ambition, if you have a little bit of ambition, you can go super far. And with my daughters, empowerment. And I'm the reason I'm saying it this way is because with women, a lot of times, and I go to like a networking events and see all this stuff, and there's like 60 to 70% women at these events. And about 20% women speakers. So empowerment, meaning giving them a voice to be the person they want to be. Again, all those could go back and forth between the two, but sometimes I just look a little bit more in detail at if I was at that age and I was my boy, I'd want to be a little bit more ambitious. I mean, I am ambitious, but like because you could just run the table because of it. And then now I want my daughters to feel empowered to do what they do and be the creative people they are. And I think it's just men and women think differently.
But I think the common denominator there is focusing on building up self-worth and self-love, and just nurturing their gifts from there, right? As a dad, love that. So someone who's produced now 200 episodes with your podcast, and I'm just starting. You know, if you had your time all over again, you know, what would the top three things that you do now starting out? Like, what would be your suggestions for me to help me to launch this podcast?
Start off and start early. Don't get in your head. Don't worry about having the right equipment. I started my episodes with a headset and a HP computer, not the mice computer you have here, not this nice. I like a gamer head, like the big old gamer headset. I was talking to multimillionaires with a big gamer headset, and they didn't care. So just start off and start early. Find what fills your heart because it is what you're creating. So you don't have to have rules. You don't have to do your five questions and this is how you do it, and this is how you flow. Find what works for you. I'm a salesman by trade anyway, and I do sales coaching. So thus me just asking questions made more sense than me having a list of questions. So asking questions off of that. And then third, don't be afraid to ask the big names because if you ask, most people want to help you. Reach out. I've had some big hitters on, not even knowing I wasn't supposed to ask them yet, because I guess there's some, you know, the little made-up rules. Once until you have 50 episodes, you can't talk to these people. I was having them like the 7th, 10th, 15th episode. I don't remember which ones those are, but like I'm just throwing names out. But if you go looking through my thing, I had a lot of people that were pretty high up there and good even super early on. And then the other thing, don't worry about perfection. Worry about impact. Because you're
Love
gonna
that.
make mistakes. Your first 10 episodes are gonna suck. It doesn't matter who you are because you're just not comfortable with it. Just like my first 10 sales calls sucked. My first 10 swings of the bat for baseball sucked. My first 10 shots for basketball sucked. My first probably 10 attempts to get a girl to say yes probably bombed. You know, it's just learning and growing, and you get better and you adapt and you grow. And a lot of people with podcasts like to watch the journey because typically they'll listen to your first podcast, they'll listen to your last podcast, and they'll kind of pick in between and see what they like.
Yeah, love that. Well, hey, thank you very much for being one of my first 10, and help me to break this ground. So appreciate you. So a lot of our community here with the Laptop Lifestyle Dads, you know, they're essentially I'm involved in it heavily as a travel ambassador in the network marketing space, and a lot of people I'm helping in the attraction marketing, social selling, and teaching them how to leverage AI. So our mission statement for the Laptop Lifestyle Dads is to help workaholic fathers transform them into laptop lifestyle dadpreneurs, teaching them how to make at least $10,000 a month online so they can become the fun vacation dad, fueled by dad jokes, of course, and so they can focus on making memories with their family. So, you know, that whole teaching people how to make money online, right? So what's some advice to the struggling entrepreneur? The ones who are just getting started, the ones who feel stuck in their online business. What's one piece of advice that you'd offer, especially regarding to leveraging sales and even the AI space as well?
Be intentional. You can only control your input, meaning that you don't know what message you're going to send out is going to affect or help who. So you have to keep sending out different messages, trying different ways from reels to videos to lives to long form to short form content, anything you can do to get it out there. Second, understand you're enough. Once you do that, you're done for the day. You moved your needle, go to the next day because this is a marathon, this is a long game. No one likes to hear this, but anyone that tells you that they can make you a millionaire overnight or in the next 30 days probably is full of crap. Because it just takes time to build. You had to build your brand, you had to build your network, you had to get people to like, buy in, or like and trust you so that they'll buy from you. So there's that. Third, you're already workaholics, you're already trying to do two things. Don't lose your family and don't use the excuse, I'm doing this for them. Make intentional time for them each and every week. Because I've fallen into that trap. I'm sure, Jeff, you've probably fallen into that trap too, where you're going, I'm building my business. I'm doing my day job. I'm building my business. And then you look back and you go, I haven't taken my wife on a date in a month. I haven't spent time with my kids. And you can't say that you're doing it for them if you're not spending time and effort with them. You're doing it for you, own your stuff.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And that's why I've actually had to myself, been that workaholic, and I've had to really get structured in my calendar. I put that, I take my sons, one at a time. I'll go fishing for the afternoon with them, or, on a weekend, or, and I take Sarah for, for dates, and we intentionally put, travel into the mix to make sure that we are focusing on those memories. But it's all very intentional. It's all very scheduled and structured, for that reason, to have to keep that balance by design. So,
It's key. It's
yeah.
totally key, because if you don't do that, you're going to burn out. Your family's not going to be happy about it. You're not going to be happy, and it's not going to work.
Yeah. Now we can, money's something that we can, we can make more of, we can find a way, right? Bring more money in, but it's that time, that precious time that floats away. And, I look at my son now, he's 12, my oldest son. And what? It's what, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 6 years if he stays to 18. Like, I left home at 15, so what's that? That's, anywhere from 4 to 8 summers left to really be able to bond with my boys, so that they can grow up and be awesome adults. When you look at it like that, 4 summers left, like, pretty fleeting.
I get you. I have the 21-year-old, I have the 19-year-old, and I have the 9-year-old. Here's another quick little tip. This is more on just being a dad, so just thought about it. Date your kids when they're young. Take them out and let them talk to you about what they like. So, like with my daughter, who's 21, she used to like Barbies and what is it, Polly Pockets or something. I didn't care about that, but you know what I did? When my was there and I had the phone, I put my phone down, I flipped it over. And I was intentional with her when she was 2, 3, 4 years old, and now she's 21, and we still talk and have that relationship and growth. With your boys, it's probably going to be going and doing something with them, because men connect by doing, women like the connection by talking. It's just another two things that just popped in my head, but yeah, it's so much valuable with that.
I'm grateful that I've got boys. I don't have to try and work out the different dynamics. I've got three boys, but I know that our 2 older boys at the moment, I intentionally go, when we go fishing, like, I intentionally drive for an hour to get to that place, because it's that side by side conversation. For some reason, men especially, and boys, we open up more when we're not looking at each other's face,
That's
and you've
true.
got a side by side conversation. I find they're some of our most impactful conversations that we've had with my boys. So, just
It's 100% true.
So before we wrap up, I'd love to put you on the spot. What's your best dad joke?
Ah, that dad joke. I'm not great at dad jokes by any means. I don't have a good dad joke.
That's all right. I
But
got one.
I'm trying to. You give me one. I'm
I got
calling the lifeline in here.
This is my gold one. It's one of my most favorite ones. I use it all the time. It is my lifeline. Anyway, I married my wife for her looks, just not the ones that she gives me these days.
There. Yeah, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. I like that.
Cool. Anyway, Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure connecting with you, mate, and thank you very much for sharing your heart with us. For our listeners who are tuned in, how can they connect with Joe Graham?
Sure. And if you heard my puppy bark, sorry about that. She heard the doorbell ring. The easiest way is my podcast is the Joseph Graham Show, like you mentioned, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X and Threads. I'm Joe Graham Real. And then on Facebook, the Joe Graham Show is the easiest way to catch me. And it's me. I don't have a VA right now. So if you send me a message, love to chat with you and see if I can help you out.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, mate. And thank you very much once again for being my very first one to, cut my teeth onto, essentially, and get going with this. So, absolutely appreciate you in that space. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll call that a wrap.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Well, g'day, guys. It's Jeff Ross here, your caffeinated kangaroo, the host of the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. In our latest episode, we chat with Joe Graham, a seasoned sales expert and the host of the Joe Graham Show. Joe shared his journey from factory worker to top sales closer, and the critical mindset that transformed his career, and how the role of AI has played a pivotal role in his social selling journey. We discuss how reframing sales as helping the customer has made all the difference for Joe's sales career. Plus, Joe offers practical tips for entrepreneurs on balancing work and family life. So thank you, Joe, for an amazing interview. And tune in for actionable insights and inspiring stories for more episodes to come as we go and interview experts like Joe from the social selling and AI mastery arena. Thanks for listening. See you on the next episode. Now for some exciting news. Don't forget to grab our brand new book that just launched the other week, Social Selling and AI Mastery for Network Marketers. It's packed with actionable insights and success stories to help elevate your game. And also, whilst you're here, don't forget to mark your calendars for our upcoming 5-day Social Selling and AI Mastery Bootcamp starting July 23rd. This bootcamp's designed to transform your approach to online business with cutting-edge strategies and practical tips. Whether you're just starting out or looking to up your game, this bootcamp is for you. Why join? It's simple. We're here to equip and empower you to achieve true freedom and success in your business. Learn how to balance the chaos of the mum dad life while mastering social selling and AI. So hit that subscribe button. Don't miss any future episodes. If you loved what you heard, leave us a review and share it with your fellow legends. Let's grow this community together. Stay caffeinated, stay inspired, and keep making memories. Cheers, legends, and we'll see you on the next episode.